This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, it's a beautiful day. I mean, I think we have went right into summer.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think that's possible?
Well, I think it is, because I realized that school is out this coming Friday. So we're 6 days away from the end of school.
Is that the 22nd or the 23rd?
I don't know. Whatever
that's
Friday
23rd,
is.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And so school's
some
out.
Schools...
And it means it's vacation time.
It's vacation time. Every family, you remember years ago, they got in the old station wagon and left town.
Oh, yeah.
I remember those days so well.
You'd
oh, my
load
gosh.
The back of that thing up, and you'd pile in the Buick, and you would head somewhere.
Oh, yeah. and the kids, and you made sandwiches, you packed lunch.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I remember all that.
Oh, yeah.
Hilarious.
It was always the excitement leading up to it, the packing, the sandwich making the snacks, packing bags, loading up the car. You get in, and then within an hour, everybody's burned out, and it's like, are we there yet?
Are we there? And a lot of people took the dog, you know that.
Oh, yes, yes.
A lot of them had to take the dog. Mm-hmm. And so that was hilarious. The dog's thirsty. You have to stop at the old filling stations. You got out the hose and gave the dog a drink. I remember all that.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dogs were part of the family.
They were, and they are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing. I'll give out the phone number, then I'll talk about dogs. Okay.
Okay. What's your phone number?
Our phone number is 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage. But before I get into serious business like making money, I wanted to ask you, did you know that we now have dog cardiologists?
No, I had no idea there was such a thing. Dog cardiologists.
They're absolutely, it's for cat and dogs. One of my relatives this week, a close relative, her cat was very ill.
Oh.
So she takes it to the vet. The vet says, I think it has heart failure. You must take it over to the cardiologist. The cat then goes over to the cardiologist. And they said, we might have to do surgery. I said, I'm not paying for surgery. I said, this little old kitty couldn't stand that.
Yeah.
He's got a tiny, tiny little heart.
Oh.
You can't do that to him.
No.
So I looked it up. And cat cardiologists make about $300,000 a year.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. Now, did you know they also have psychologists for animals?
Now, how in the world, how is it possible that you can sit an animal on a couch and have them talk? How does that work?
I just don't know. I mean, and I look to see what they make. They only make $50,000 a year, and
oh.
I can see why.
Yeah.
They're not called upon very often.
They're doing nothing.
Can you imagine going out and talking to the cow and say, now, I know you don't want to give milk. Let's get down to the problem. Why are you not giving milk this morning? Oh, my gosh. Oh, Lord.
Oh,
I said,
the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Well, I just didn't know that we had cardiologists now.
No,
I didn't know we had specialists. And they treat hypertension in cats and dogs. Just all kinds of things.
I mean, you
have to go to a specialist for your cat and dog.
Wow. My goodness.
Look how far we've come.
I see. Well, you know, they I guess it kind of makes sense, you know, because we have so many products that are specific for our pets, our dogs and our cats. You know, they have clothing lines. They have special food that you get, like, in the grocery aisle at the grocery store, not just, like, the canned dog food section. And now I guess the next logical thing would be these animal specialists. I just didn't realize it was here.
And you can get a doctorate.
Wow.
You can get a PhD.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, I mean, this is serious stuff. I just wanted you to know, I mean, you know, way out here in the heartland, people might not have heard about this.
Uh-uh.
That we have all these, you know, we have the psychologist for them. We have the heart doctor for them. It's
wow.
A whole new world.
I have never heard of such a thing. Now, I do know that animals get nervous. Like if there's an argument or something like that, dogs tend to get a little bit nervous if you know things aren't quite right. So I know that they have feelings, and I know they get affected by these types of things. But I had no idea there was specialists or therapists or anything that you could take them to deal with these things.
I just wanted you to know.
Well, thanks.
It's a whole new deal out there.
Wow.
I mean... Oh, and now they have insurance for it also.
Really? They have pet insurance?
Pet insurance. If your child, which is a dog or a cat, might need some, you could take out insurance that will cover them for all these things that could go wrong.
Wow. I had no idea that was a thing.
And it's expensive. This little trip to the specialist yesterday was $750 for diagnostic.
Holy.
Oh, yeah, $750.
Well, no wonder they make so much money.
Just look what I could have done with that $750. Oh, my gosh.
Oh. Wow.
I can dream about that.
Yeah.
You know what I could have done.
Goodness gracious. If one of these psychologists for pets had about six visits during a year, that would cover their salary right there. That's it, just six.
That's right. And I don't know how many are in Texas. I didn't look that up. But, I was in shock.
Wow.
I just didn't know you could get these degrees in psychology for a pet.
I honestly had no idea.
I mean, if my child came home and said, I'm going to study to be a pet psychologist, I'd probably flip out.
Yeah, yeah.
I just say, you've gone too far.
Well, they also have pet psychics, too. Have you seen those?
No, I'm not into psychics, so I miss that.
Yeah, yeah. I have seen ads for pet psychics, and they're supposed to... Now, obviously, I've never called one, but they're supposed to tell you what your pet is thinking and feeling. How do we know? How would anybody know if that's true or not?
It depends if they can convince you of it.
Well played. Well played.
In other words, how gullible do you think you are? I mean, you know?
Wow. All right. Well, so the moral of the story here is if you do anything that serves an animal, you're probably going to do very well financially.
I think you will do well. And I hope those guys that are going to A&M I don't know if they're listed this morning. I don't know if you want to be a psychologist or, a heart specialist for pets. But, I mean, it pays well, $300,000 a year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what a low-paying doctor would make.
Yeah, yeah. Well.
Now, most doctors do make $1 million to $2 million, but... in a small town, that's what they might make, $300,000.
I'm sure pet cardiologists, they're needed. I just didn't realize it was a thing.
I didn't either.
Huh.
But for surgery, it's $3,000 to $4,000.
Goodness gracious, that's almost as much as people.
That's right. But I just thought we should bring that up this morning.
Well, I'm so glad you shared that because it may be about time for some of us to go back to school.
I thought so. I mean, it's such an amazing story. I'm going to try to meet one of these guys and just find out how all that came about.
Oh, yes. I would love to find out some more details about that.
Yeah, I think it's just so interesting.
It is.
Everything in life is interesting, but this really caught my fancy this week.
Yeah, clearly.
I thought that we had to talk about that.
And now it's caught mine.
Okay. All right, now I'll get off my soapbox and let's talk about making money for the client.
Okay, so what
because
kind of...
Because if they have to go to this dog doctor, they're going to need a lot of money.
So what kind of exciting things happened this week? What are some developments, policies you may have seen, looked at, bid on?
Yes, well, I have a lot of policies that we bid on. I've got about 4 to 5 that we're waiting on documents that we are going to close. And then I've got some I don't know is going to close. We had one that rescinded. The young girl that was 34 years old that had breast cancer that had the baby.
Oh.
I just don't, I mean, she's young, she's inexperienced, and she rescinded this policy. Now, as this breast cancer gets worse, she's not going to be able to work.
Yeah.
And she's got a baby. I just don't know what her thinking was.
Yeah, she's up against
a lot. That she would rescind that thing. I cannot imagine.
Yeah.
But then we had a lot of people that accepted our offer this week. We're waiting on contracts to get back, and we'll finish those up.
Great.
And, yes, and we're filling a policy Monday. It's $1 million.
Ooh.
I'll get everybody in it I can. I won't have... you know, everybody in it, naturally. But I've got 4 more coming that I'll be able to get people in. We had 3 or 4 policies that went into their accounts this week, so people did get paid on several policies. We've got about 4 more outstanding that they haven't got paid on yet that we're hoping to get paid rather quickly.
Wow, so there's a lot of things happening. There's new policies.
A lot of things happening. You know, we're so busy every day, it's just an amazing thing.
I know it. It's a good time right now.
It is. And everybody's money, we have a lot of money on hand to invest for people. We have a lot of policies coming, and I think it'll all work out. I think it'll even out.
So if anybody's been thinking about getting into like a life settlement type of investment, this would be the time to do it. Is this typically the hot time of year? Or?
Well, you know, you never know. Sometimes it's May, sometimes it's June. You mm-hmm. never know, you know, which is going to be the best month. But right now we've got all the policies coming in. We've got the contracts coming. So I would say May is going to finish up a really good month.
Yeah. So there's a lot of money to be made right now. And, you know, people are staring down, you know, vacations, summer vacations. So they may be saying, well, you know, I'm going to do it after vacation. Let me go ahead and spend this money first, and then I'll come see you. That doesn't have to be a thing. I know we talk all the time about how, well, you know, I don't have it right now. Let me do this first. And people tend to keep doing that. When they tend to put other things first, they procrastinate and they wait. And they want to, but they wait. And then they wait some more. And before you know it, months and years have gone by. And so it doesn't have to be an either or type of thing. All this really involves is coming to see you, talk for the first time, get a little bit of information, find out where people are at, and they can get started. It's not like a high maintenance thing. So once you get in your first policy, people can still go on vacation. It's not like they've got to do anything. It's not a high maintenance type of investment, right?
Well, you know, I have some new clients this week. And what they said was, we're so glad we've done this because we don't have to stay up nights. And when she said that, I said, you know, that's what we've all talked about.
Yeah.
Is when you're in this, you don't have to get up at midnight and check the internet to see where your stock is. And she said, you know, and it beats the CDs at the bank.
Mm-hmm.
She said, you know, we didn't want to get 2% on our money.
Yeah.
And that makes a lot of sense.
It
you know,
does.
This pays 1% a month. We don't talk about that enough. If you have a 24-month policy, it's going to pay 24%. If it's 18 months, you're going to get 18%.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that we don't know is exactly when you'll get paid.
Yeah.
We don't know if it'll be early, is it going to be on time, or is it going to be late. It's going to be one of those three.
And people are going to make that money. They're going to make that 18% or 24% or 30%, whatever it is. They're going to make that regardless of when the policy does mature. So if it comes in early, they're still going to get the same profit margin. It's just you get it faster.
That's right. They're going to get it a little sooner. And some of the things that these clients said this week made sense. You know, they didn't want to do a CD, and they certainly didn't want to get in the stock market
mm-hmm.
at their age.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't want any part of that. They wanted their money to be secure. They wanted to know how much they were going to make and how soon they would make it. They didn't want any long term. They didn't want to do a 10-year or 20-year deal.
Yeah.
They wanted to do something that every couple of years they get paid. And they want to go off and do something else while I'm making their money.
Exactly. And that's the great thing about this is they're not up at nights. They don't. It takes no maintenance whatsoever. They don't have to do anything while this is going on. They don't have to worry that they're not going to have anything. You know, they're going to have nothing left, or they're not going to get wiped out while they're, you know, traveling Europe or stuck over in like Italy and all of a sudden have no money to get back home. These are not the situations that are going to happen, because a life settlement is completely its own self-contained thing. It's not affected by any external factors whatsoever. Nothing that happens on stock market will affect a life settlement. Nothing that happens with some other, you know, foreign economy is going to affect a life settlement. It is its own entity all by itself.
Well, and these people knew one of our other clients real well. And the other client told him he had a policy go over and that it was $149. And so we were laughing about that. And so then I told them about our other client when I was telling her the other day about the $49 one. And she said, well, Faye, mine wasn't but 14. So, you know, everybody has a story about that, which is really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, and people, you know, we talk all the time about how, you know, you may have to pay those premiums if a policy does go over it. It doesn't come in when they say it will. So people think, I believe, they think, well, you know, geez, if I have to pay all these premiums are expensive, that's going to wipe out all my profit. So we'll take a quick example here. Let's take a $100,000 investment, 24%. If it goes over and say the premiums due for a quarter is, or whatever the term may be, say it is $149. Well, your profit is 24%. So you're looking at $24,000. You take out $149 for premiums, and you do the math. I mean, the numbers just make sense.
It does make sense. And the other thing I like is knowing what you're going to make up front. It's no other investment that I know of will they say, okay, this is what you're going to make up front.
Yeah.
And you know that. And you can do all kinds of things if you know what you're going to make.
Mm-hmm.
This new client said, okay, how do you do it, Faye? Do you do $50,000, $100,000? How do you do it? I said, it depends on the policy. You know, if it's going to be a quick return, if it's going to be longer, you know. And then I like to leave money in their account for premiums. If they've got several policies, we always need to make sure there's premium reserve.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to leave a little bit of money for premiums.
So
sometimes people will ask, why didn't you invest the whole thing? Because I wanted a premium reserve.
Mm-hmm. And so people could go into this knowing that things are taken care of. You've got, you know, your main investment, and then you've got all these other. And I know sometimes we, you know, refer to these as piles, but they're accounts where different money comes from and things like that. We're just trying to keep things really simple as far as the concept goes. So you've got these piles to pay for premiums. You've got a pile that people can live on. So once they've retired or whatever the case may be, they have, you know, money that they can access at any time to live on, pay bills, vacation, travel, do whatever they need to do. Meanwhile, there's another, quote, pile over here that you're using to invest. This is a whole strategy. This is a retirement. Really, it's a plan. It's not just how do we make money to get to retirement. It's so much more than that. It's making money after retirement. It's, you know, making sure you've got the money to live on for retirement, making sure that once you get there, you've got all the things paid off. You've got your house paid off, your car paid off. I mean, I know that people are accredited to do this program, and these are not issues for people because most of these things are already taken care of, but it's part of the big plan. You're checking off all these boxes, all these checklists are gone through to say, okay, yes, looking at the big picture, you are ready for retirement, and if they're not, you can put them on the right path to get there.
That's exactly right. And, you know, when we consider, are you going to retire this year? And I've got people coming this next week that are going to retire in 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to look at having enough cash in their account for, say, 2 years. You need to have 2 years' worth of cash. And other than that, then they can be fully invested for the next 2 years. And it'll work out that way. You know, people that are fixing to retire, they want safety first. Then they want to know how much they can make. And then how soon does it come due? How soon can I roll it over? And can I keep the interest going after retirement? Of course you can.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a lot of thing. A lot of the things that people don't always think about. It's like they get ready for retirement, but they don't always keep it going once they do leave the job for the, you know, their first time on retirement. It's like, okay, now what? I don't have that steady paycheck coming in, so where am I going to get income? And this is a steady income stream that people can do over many, many years. And the idea is to be so well versified that while, you know, one policy may be paying off, coming due, the money's going into an account, you turn around, you reinvest into another policy, and that's how things keep going. So on average, how many policies would you say is recommended for the average investor to be in at one time?
Well, you need to be in several. You don't want to be ever in just one. You want five or six where you may have two early, two come in on time, and two late.
Mm-hmm.
And that way it works out real well. And you know, what amazes me is we've had so many coming in early in the last 2 months.
Yeah.
You know, we've had some really great things.
It seems like every time you talk, you know, you're bringing up another policy that came in significantly early, too. When I talking about, you know, a couple of weeks, we're talking about significant time frames that these policies are coming in early.
Well, one of them, you know, that 30-month one, came in 12.
Yeah.
And we were really astonished. And then we had the one that we did last, I think it was last April, and it was supposed to be 24, and it came due in April of this year. So that's 12 months.
Yeah.
So we've had a lot of real good things happen that way. We do have some that have gone over. You're always going to have that.
Mm-hmm.
But thank goodness the premiums are not real high.
Yeah. And when things do come in late, this is kind of an average of the entire span of your investment tenure, I guess. You know, yeah, you have some come in early, you have some come in late, you have some come in on time. But when you step back and you look at the big picture, this has never been intended to be a one and done type of thing. You know, so over time, you know, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, whatever the case may be, it all averages out, and people are making money regardless. And so, you know, we kind of ran that sample if something does come in late, how much we're looking at in premiums. And so the profit margin is still enormous, even when a policy does go over. And I think people sometimes hear that and they get a little bit maybe gun-shy because they're worried that their profit is going to be sucked up by those premiums. But when you plan this out and you do this over a long period of time, it works out. Excuse me. People make a ton of money. It gets people ready for retirement. It gets people ready after retirement. So when somebody's planning right now, they're thinking, okay, I'm hearing all this. This all sounds really great. It's starting to make a little bit of sense to me. I think this might be a really great opportunity for me to make a lot of money. But how long, you know, it's like I want to retire in 5 years. So is that enough time? How long would you recommend somebody do something like this, get in multiple policies to get ready for retirement?
Well, 5 years will work, especially if they come in with $300,000 to $400,000.
Mm-hmm.
If they're coming with $100,000, it won't be enough in 5 years. You'll have to keep going. Anybody that's got $300,000 or above, you know, in 5 years we could make it work. And then just keep the interest going after that. We're not going to stop just because they retire.
Uh-huh. So the people that came to you this week, your new clients, where are they in the spectrum of retirement? Are they close to retirement, already retired?
They've already retired.
Okay.
They've already retired, just retired in the last month.
Oh.
So that's a good thing. Yeah, they're just getting set up. And so, you know, I had two or three clients come in this week, and both clients have retired.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them had talked to me some time back. So I think we've got everything on the road, you know?
So when somebody's listening and they're saying, okay, well, you know, I've got enough for retirement right now, what is it about these particular cases, not necessarily specific information, but what is it about these cases that made them come to you after retirement or right at that line? Because we always talk about getting ready for retirement, but if somebody's starting at retirement, how does that work?
Well, I think what happened was Maybe they didn't have all their money together when they came the first time. It could have been invested in something they couldn't get it out of.
Mm.
But now it is out of that. So now they have the available cash to go ahead and complete a deal with me.
Mm. I see.
So lots of times, you know, they may have it tied up and said, okay, I can't do quite what I wanted to yet. But then they either got it all out of their 401k or wherever. So now the money is available to them.
Yeah, because some 401ks you can't have access to until you leave, right?
That's exactly right. So they could not do it until they said, okay, I'm going to retire next week.
Okay.
And then they sent them their money, and so now they have it available to do the investments.
Okay. So when people retire and they're in decent shape for retirement, but obviously, you know, they want to keep making money, because really when it comes down to it, it doesn't matter where in anybody's life they are, whether they're, you know, in their 20s or 30s or 50s or, you know, 60s and they've already retired. It doesn't matter where anybody is. I don't know of anybody at any stage of life that has ever said, I have enough money, I don't need any more, I can afford to just not do this. I've never had anybody say that,
and I've got some pretty wealthy clients.
Yeah,
and I've never had them say, "Faye, I don't want to make any more money."
Yeah,
when they say that, I'm probably going to have them checked.
Yeah,
I think we're going to have that dog psychologist talk to them. Oh my gosh!
So even if somebody is at retirement, even if they say, I've got enough of retirement, I'm going to retire next week, or I retired 2 years ago, I don't need to do this. That's not necessarily the case. This is an opportunity for anybody at any stage to go ahead and invest and start making money. And the great thing about this is, and this is the dividing line between a life settlement and Wall Street, is because once somebody's retired, they don't have that steady paycheck. So they're relying on what they've already made, if they're not investing already. And so they're afraid that, well, you know, geez, I'm just barely into retirement now, or I'm almost there, I'm going to retire within 6 months. This is not the time to throw everything in the stock market and have something terrible happen and lose everything. So they're looking for this conservative type of investment, and that's exactly what a life settlement is, right?
That's exactly right. And I don't know of anything else that you can do that's conservative, you know, that you're going to make 1% a month.
Yeah.
Now, I know there's a lot of flying deals you could do in the stock market, but they're not guaranteed. And you don't know if you'll have that much money or less when the investment's over. And this way you know what you're going to make, when you're going to make it, and you know you can do it over and over again. And another thing, some of my clients have talked to other clients of ours that have been investing with us a long time, and this helps them. That client says, well, this is how long it is, how much money I've made, and sometimes they'll tell them how much money they've made. You don't ever know.
Yeah. And when people will vouch, you know, for something like this, they'll tell their friends, their family, their coworkers, you know, people at church, wherever the case may be, they're saying, hey, yeah, this is a real thing. I've been making money, you know, with Faye for years. This is legit, and this is like, there's a lot of money to be made, because we're talking about a life insurance policy. As we all know, you know, these things are going to pay off. And so I think when people, you know, are willing to put their own reputation out on the line for a good friend or a family member, and say something like, I mean, that speaks volumes for what you're doing over there.
Well, let me tell you something. I have a client that's been with me about 5 years, and I found out the other day that he was in the hospital. He'd been real ill.
Oh.
And his wife had called and said he was ill and everything. So I'd kind of put his account aside and wasn't even thinking about it. He called this week. Now, this guy has cancer, has some other things. He called and said, when can I get into the next policy? And I'm going, oh, my gosh. I mean, you know, wow. And I said, you know, now our clients are pretty faithful, you know. I mean, they like what they're doing. They like how they're making money. And just because the guy's got cancer doesn't mean he's going to stop.
Well, yeah. I mean, everybody still wants to make money, no matter where you are in stage of life. So,
I guess that's right.
It works for everybody, and I think when we compare, you know, the positives and the three risks that you always talk about, it's like the positives far outweigh anything, because it's almost like, and I want to run through these here real quick, the three risks. It's like when we look at these, there's almost like they're almost so small, they're almost a non-issue, but obviously you're transparent and you let everybody know what's happening, and these things do exist. They need to know before they get involved. But I think even knowing that these risks are there is even comforting, because there's three major risks. One of them we kind of talked about earlier is that, you know, a policy may go over. It may not mature when they say it will, and so you may have to pay those premiums. That's one of the risks.
That is the biggest risk, because it could be delayed. The delay is what you have to think about. Can I stand a year delay or 2 years? Yes, you can, because your premium are not going to be that high. So, yes, you can make it. The second risk is it's not liquid. Now, this is what's funny. My client brought that up to his wife this week. She was saying something, and he said, remember, it's not liquid during that time. I mean, you know, they've got it down because I talk about it so much.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he told his wife, it is not liquid during that time because it's invested.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly right. Then the third risk is if a life insurance company ever went under. We've never had one go under in Texas. And, of course, they have more money than anybody. Their premium income is like $150 to $200 million a year.
Holy smokes.
I mean, it is tremendous what they have coming in, you know. It's an amazing.
So let's play this out for a second. Say somebody's really, really nervous about that, and I'm going to love how you're going to answer this. Say somebody's really nervous that a life insurance policy goes under. They declare, we're out, we're done. What's going to happen, like, immediately?
Well, so you're saying if a life insurance company said, we're done?
Yes.
Somebody would buy it the next week.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, thinking, it would be bought before the sun went down.
Exactly. Because there's all that income. And so there is way too much money to be made. It's not. People, like you say, people will have that thing bought, or they'll have their eye on it. They'll be bidding on it. They'll be putting papers in order before lunch because there's too much money to be made. And so it almost seems like a safety net for a safety net. You know, I love how you talk about the risks, and I love how you let everybody know. But even those risks have to be comforting, because they realize, hey, if this does happen, this will happen, and it's fine. Everything will be okay.
That is exactly right, because with these risks, you know it going in, and none of them have ever been called on. Think about that.
Yeah, yeah.
In other words,
it's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal. So we've never had a life insurance company say that it's over, you know. They've always been bought by another company. When an accredited investor invests, he knows the money's tied up. Of course it is.
Yeah.
He expects it to be. And 90% of ours is all IRA money. So if it's an IRA money, you wouldn't want it out early anyway.
Yeah.
Because as you and I know, you don't want to pay taxes on that till you have to.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So if you can keep your money rolling and not pay taxes till 70 and a half, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a good thing. Now, we do have people that are getting to be 70 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to keep enough cash in their accounts to pay the government every year.
Yeah.
And so we check that all the time. Do we have anybody this year that's going to be 70 and a half? We have to have enough money in that IRA to pay their minimum distribution at the end of the year.
I mean, you've got your eye on that. So you've got your eye on every aspect of not only each individual person's plan, but as far as, you know, the broader picture, you've got your eye on all these as well. And so you really are looking out for every single investor. The goal is to not only get them to retirement, but to get them a nice return on their investments even after retirement. You know what's coming up in the future. You're looking ahead so people don't have to worry about it. So you look at all of this. You look at how conservative this is. You see all the advantages of a life settlement. And then you turn the other way and you look at Wall Street and you think to myself, my goodness, I literally could have a huge amount of money tied up in the stock market and I could lose everything overnight. That's not going to happen with a life settlement.
Nope, not going
to
happen.
I don't know how to make it any more plain. I mean, it's right there. That's why people love this. That's why you have so many people who have been with you for so many years, which is another great testament to what you're doing. Is, you know, if this wasn't working for so many people, you'd have...
They would have been in something else.
Exactly.
They wouldn't be in this.
The turnover would be crazy.
It does work, and so we increase clients. And the other thing is, our clients bring more money. Mm-hmm. If they didn't like it, they wouldn't be bringing more money all the time. Last week, somebody brought a check for $50,000. The week before, I think I had a couple of people bring $100,000. And it happens all the time. They bring more money because they like the money they're making.
Yeah.
So and it makes sense.
You have
if it didn't make sense, we wouldn't even do it.
Exactly. It not only makes sense, but we look at the historicals. We look at the money that people are making, and it's all right there. You have the numbers to back it all up. You have the people, the experience to back all this up. And so that's the great thing. And I'm sure you have tons of existing clients who've been with you for years, and at some point just say, Faye, I'm tired of this. I want to put more in.
They do it all the time. They say, I'm going to bring you a check. One of my clients called the other day. He said he'd been hacked. He was going to wire the money. He said, oh, well, heck, I'll just bring you a check for $300,000. And his sister, she's going to put another $50,000 in. In fact, we've already got the check in on her. She sent another $50,000 in.
Wow. That says it all. I mean, you cannot say anything more than what, you know, people are actually doing with their actions. Actions always speak louder than words. And when people consistently keep doing things like this and want to be, you know, more involved with it, that's really, really exciting. And so that speaks for itself. And so this is a great time to be doing it. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're right there by Ivy Cottage at 3105.
And we should note that's your office number. And obviously being Saturday morning, nobody's over there right now. However, people can call and leave a message and make an appointment to come see you, next week or the week after, whatever's convenient. And so that's what they can expect when they call that number. So now every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia and you always bring exciting, fun things to the table. So what's the topic this morning?
We have went to the dogs. It's just that simple. Oh, man. I got to looking this week, and this week is the national honor of the canines that have been in all of our wars.
Really?
Now, you didn't know that probably either.
No.
They are honored just like on Memorial Day for people. March 13 is the day that they honor all of our canines that have been in all of our wars.
I had no idea.
That is absolutely true. So I went back and looked up a lot of things that I didn't know. And starting in 1942, somebody got the idea, why couldn't the dogs help us? Well, the American Kennel Association first was furnishing dogs. Well, somebody had to train them. And it was just kind of lackluster. Then they put the quartermasters in charge of training these dogs. They were trained as messengers. They were trained the ones that could really sniff out bombs. They were trained to sniff out bombs. They were trained to do everything. And during World War II, we had all these dogs on all of our coasts guarding our country. I did not know that.
I did not know that either.
They were guarding all of America around the world. So then, even in World War I, we had some famous dogs. And it's just amazing about these dogs, what all they did and how they were honored. Now, a lot of them got all these medals. And then our country, you know how they are, said, oh, we can't be giving medals to dogs. And they rescinded the dadgum medals.
No!
Yeah, and just gave them a ribbon instead. It's ridiculous. But we've had at least 7 really famous dogs during the war. One of them was called Rags. He was a little canine terrier. He was a mascot for the 1st Infantry during World War I. And he joined up in 1917 in France. He lived till 1931. And he was recruited by Private James Donovan. And Donovan was AWOL. And he was on leave in France. And two military policemen approached him. And he tripped over the small little dog. And old Donovan thought real quick. He said, "Oh, I'm part of a search party out to find our mascot." And it got him out of hot water.
Wow.
So, yeah, so Rags had a name and a job. He was a small dog, but he relayed messages from our front lines. His greatest moment of heroism came in France in 1918. And he ran a vital message through falling bombs. And he was gassed and partially blind. He survived. And in 1920, he was adopted. And they kept him the rest of his life. But he ran right to get the messages through falling bombs.
That's amazing.
He was a little cane terrier.
Wow.
He wasn't real big. And another famous one was called Chips. Now, Chips was a German Shepherd and Collie mix. He's the most decorated canine that served during World War II. And Edward Wren, it was his dog, and he donated him. And in 1942, the dog became a sentry dog. He traveled the world while serving with the 3rd Infantry. Can you imagine?
Wow.
This little dog. And during the invasion of Sicily, him and his handler were trapped on the beach by machine gun. He broke free of his handler's grip, ran toward the fire, attacked the gunman, and eventually caused them to surrender to American troops.
You got to be kidding me.
No. And he was given the Silver Star and the Purple Heart, but later they were revoked, but they said dogs can't be given these awards.
Oh,
isn't that ridiculous?
That is nonsense.
And he had they gave him 8 Arrowhead ribbons and 8 battle stars for every campaign he was in.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes. So we had some really famous ones. Another one was called Lex. He was a German Shepherd. He served in Iraq. Corporal David Dustin Lee was killed in a mortar attack outside Fallujah. Rex was by his side. The German Shepherd was so faithful to his handler, he had to be pulled away from them to allow the medics to attend to him.
Really?
The dog sustained shrapnel wounds. He was present at Lee's funeral and comforted the younger siblings. He was allowed to serve in the military till he was 10. And then they let him take early retirement and go live with them.
That just sounds funny that he served until he was 10.
Yes, and they say he served faithfully and honorably and was discharged from the U.S. Marines.
Wow.
Yes, and there's about 7 of these dogs that were just very, very famous. And they did so much. And I didn't know, but they, you know, they trained them. They sent them to war. And I know one of the little dogs, they were trying to hide him. And, you know, they would hide him in their duffel bags or wherever. Mm-hmm. And some of these little dogs, they found them in other countries and trained them. But they were trained where they wouldn't be afraid of the fire, shrapnel, guns, where they would run toward the enemy. And so a lot of these dogs really became famous in the lives that they saved. They said they saved thousands of lives.
You know, I've always heard about, you know, dogs being used to, like, sniff bombs and things like that. But I guess I didn't realize that they did so many other things, so many big, heroic other things on top of all that.
They really did. They did so many heroic things. And another one was a little Yorkie Terrier. And he served in World War II, and they found him in the foxholes in the jungle of New Guinea.
Wow.
And he lived the soldier's life, but she wasn't official, so she didn't get dog food or medical care. So she shared their meals and slept beside him in a tent. And the little dog flew 12 air rescue missions.
Wow.
And he did it in the soldier's backpack. He survived 150 air raids.
Wow.
And he warned them of incoming shells. That was his job.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And when they brought her back to the U.S., they brought her back hidden in an oxygen mask carrying case.
I guess I didn't realize that these dogs did so many different things.
They did an awful lot to save lives.
Wow.
It's just amazing what all they did. And there were several bull terriers, and they said they were some of the best, and they never got credit for all the work they did and the lives they saved.
You know, and they do all these things without any kind of fear or anything like that. They just go, they do their job, and they do it well. It's really kind of fascinating.
And they said to start with, they were training them over here, and they wouldn't let them near other people because they didn't want them to be friendly.
Yeah.
But the ones that were really fabulous were with the soldiers all the time.
Wow.
You know? And they would protect them. Like I said, they would bark and tell them when the enemy was near. That was another thing they taught them during the Japanese after Pearl Harbor, was to detect these people and to tell them when they were out in the jungles and things where they were, and they would do that.
Wow. It's fascinating how they can learn these things.
It was, and the quartermasters is the ones that trained them, and they got all of them to start with from the American Kennel Association, so they were all purebreds.
Wow.
But then the ones they wanted the Doberman Pinschers, the Huskies, and the German Shepherds, and the big dogs that they said they thought they were the best. But here we had all these little dogs that were so famous and did so much good. And they didn't take them in. They wouldn't take them.
See, that's
and these were all brought by soldiers and did a fine job.
It's because you think, you know, to be a military dog or any kind of public service like that, you need to be big and strong and fast. You need to be like that German Shepherd, you know, all the muscle and all the determination and all that. And then to take these little dogs and find out that they can do just as many things, just in their own way with you know their makeup of what they've got, you know, physically. It's fascinating. The whole thing is just I had no idea that all this was going on.
And these little dogs were on the front lines at all times, and a lot of people don't know that. The little dogs, they would scamper, they would take the messages, they'd bring you back a message right through the fire. I mean, just right through the shelling, and didn't bother them.
Wow.
And like that one little dog that became so famous, Chips, you know, he ran to the fire, he ran and started biting those guys and saving a lot of men.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he knew that they were going to attack his guys, and he didn't want that to happen.
It's fascinating how they go into all this with no fear, too.
That's exactly right. And how many little dogs, you know, that, I mean, they ran to the fire, toward the firing, and didn't run and hide.
Yeah.
And these are little bitty fellas.
Yeah, I know a lot of dogs that are scared from, like, fireworks. So to be in the middle of a battlefield like this, it's cool.
It's really cool what they've done.
Wow.
And during the Vietnam War, we had 4,000 dogs.
That's amazing.
That were in the war.
Wow. It's mind-blowing how, you know, a lot of these dogs will do things that people either won't or can't.
That's right.
Because fear takes over and, you know, instincts come in that say, no, you know, you don't want to run towards the fire. That's not safe. It's not cool. But a dog will do it out of loyalty to their master.
That's exactly right. And they became so close to these guys, you know, and that like that one, when he became hurt, he would not leave his side.
Yeah. Yeah.
He stayed right there.
And these dogs, they still can't accept medals, only ribbons?
Yeah, and that is ridiculous.
Wow.
That they would not let them have the medals just like a regular soldier.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, they brought them back here. Somebody adopted them, a family. And then some of them didn't make it. They were just like the soldiers. They died in war.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the front lines. Yeah. So it's an amazing story to me.
It sounds like they did amazing service to our country, and it seems like it goes under the radar.
Well, and that's why May 13th is when they are honored.
Wow, that is so cool. Yes. And you never hear about it, really, when the date comes around, because it was just this past week. It doesn't really make the news. It doesn't get on the forefront.
That's right, and people don't even know that they are honored just like, you know, the soldiers on Memorial Day.
Yeah.
You can look all this up, but it's there's all kinds of stories about famous puppies and dogs and the heroes that they really were.
Yeah, maybe we should get something done to change that, get them more recognition.
That's right. And Smokey was the smallest dog. It was a girl dog, and she only weighed 4 pounds, 7 inches. And, I mean, you know, can you imagine? She weighed 4 pounds, and she did all this.
Yeah.
And flew all those air missions. That's what I'm impressed about.
Yeah.
You know, she was right there every time a soldier got in a plane. She was there, right there with them.
Yeah, she may have been physically small, but her determination was big.
Her determination was very big. And what they say, in honor of Memorial Day, Famous Dogs of War, that's how it's entitled.
Wow, how cool is that?
Can you imagine?
That's amazing.
So it's just, they played such vital roles. They were guards, they were trackers, they detected mines. And as I said, they saved thousands of lives.
Yeah, we need to bring more attention to them.
That's right. And they should have got all their medals. That's ridiculous.
Exactly. That's no doubt
about
that.
I mean, if you risk your life, my gosh.
Yeah, yeah. You should have more than a little ribbon, even if it's a dog we're talking about.
That's exactly right.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330, and we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, one thing that makes the life settlement type of investment so appealing is the types of life insurance policies that you're buying. Is it fair to say that that is probably the cornerstone of what makes this such a successful investment for so many people? Would that be like the one starting point?
Well, it's really, really important, the kind of policies you're going to buy. And, of course, we try to buy all term life policies. Sometimes we can't. Sometimes they are, you know, whole life. But term life is the cheapest, and it works better because the premiums are low.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do this, every time we're concerned at all times about the premium. How high is the premium? Can we afford it? Can the clients afford it? So, you know, we have to take that in consideration. Sometimes there's been policies, the premium was so high we could not buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know that ahead of time. So you know that, you know, hey, if this policy does go over, what are the premiums going to be? Is it taking too much profit out? You're weighing all these things before you even bid on it. So, and there's a lot of policies that come across your desk that are opportunities that you won't even bid on. You'll just throw them in the trash and bypass them because they're not that good.
That's right. And I turned down 4 policies this week.
Really?
It said no progression.
Mm.
If that cancer is not progressing, we can't buy it.
Right. Right, because your whole goal...
The people want to sell, but I didn't want to buy.
Exactly. And the thing is they'll find somebody else to buy it. There's plenty of other companies out there that'll buy these things, but you're doing this on a such a specific... You're looking for specific policies of people who have stage 4 cancer who need to sell their policy because they need the fastest lump sum of money, and usually selling an insurance policy is the quickest way people find to get that. But you're very specific. It's stage 4 cancer. It's certain types of cancer. What other things are you looking for? Because you mentioned, you know, that it had not progressed. What other types of things are you looking at?
Okay. If it says it is now in the spine, it's in the ribs, it's in the pelvis, then I'm interested in it. If it says it's just, you know, the stage 1, well, we're going to throw it away immediately. It has to be stage 4.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be progressing. It can't say, though, cancer drugs have worked and it's in remission. And then we look to see, are they obese? If they're obese, they're not going to last a long time. Are they seeking care in Europe or in Mexico? And we've had a deal that I was told about yesterday. I don't know the people. They went to Mexico. They told them they had stage 4. They're giving them all these drugs. And for some reason, they went to MD Anderson after all that. And guess what? What? It wasn't even cancer. It was something else.
Oh, wow.
So you've got to be careful. You know, unless it's diagnosed in the States, we're not having anything to do with it.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're buying the right policies, we all know the results. We all know what the historical, you know, trends are with stage four cancer. It is very serious. It is very fatal. People hope to, prolong life as best they can by various treatments and things like that, but oftentimes that's not what actually happens. And so they need somebody there to buy those policies, and that's where you come in. And it's great knowing for the investor, great knowing that you're not just willy-nilly buying any old policy that comes through. You're looking at all these reports. You're looking at, you know, what is the type of cancer? How long have they had it? All these other factors like you were talking about. You're also looking at what haven't they done? Did they choose to skip traditional treatments? Did they choose to go to Finland and have the peach diet and hope to fight cancer that way? And you've seen for yourself with your own two eyes that when people do that, it generally allows a span of window for the cancer to progress. And so at that point, if they've done that, you're on that because you know that the cancer has gotten more serious. Is that right?
That's right. And when they say they've alternate treatment, we're interested, very interested in buying it.
Yeah.
If it says they're waiting on a transplant, a stem cell transplant, I'm not buying it.
Mm-hmm.
A stem cell transplant, if it works, will give you 2 more years.
Oh, yeah. And see, and then at that point, you know, God bless them. We're glad that they're doing well health-wise if they can do that. But as far as an investment goes, it's not the type of thing that ends up being profitable for your investors. So that's the great thing. People know that you're not just buying any old policy. You're very, very selective about it. And to have that kind of comfort has to be really reassuring for people that come into the program, especially brand new, when they don't know, you know, all the ins and outs. They haven't been through the process. It has to be comforting knowing that you know, yeah, you're not only buying stage four cancer, but you're also buying, you know, policies, and you're looking at the traits of the people. So now to do the program, people have to be accredited, and so this is not for everybody. There are specific types of investors that this is best for. And so what does it take to be accredited?
They must be accredited. They either have to make $200,000 a year, and that includes their bonuses, whatever, or they have to have income like from the rent of houses or, you know, their farm, their ranch. It has to all come up to $200,000. Or they must be worth $1 million without their house.
Okay.
That's the two things, either or.
Okay. So if people are looking at it today, they're kind of thinking, you know, they may be driving around doing some things. They're kind of running through some rough numbers in their head. What should they do when they get home or before they come see you so that they really kind of come in with a well-informed plan?
Well, they should bring in whatever they want me to look at. If it's a stock portfolio, if it's, you know, whatever they've got, whatever they're invested in, whatever we're going to move money from over to this account,
mm-hmm.
whatever we're going to talk about, bring it, let's look at it, and let's talk about it.
Yeah. So it's best really for people can come in just for information. That's fine. But if people are really interested, they should probably come in with a general idea of where they are. So if they want to get started right away, you can go ahead and do them, get them accredited, and you're off and running. So
that's right.
What is your phone number one last time, Faye, so that people can call you and come see you?
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.